It's truly good to be here this morning. I've anticipated it, and you know, when we when this arrangement was made, when we were planning to come up for the Thanksgiving weekend, we had no idea that by Thanksgiving weekend we'd be living here. We've moved in with Martha's mom so that she can spend another winter at home, and so we downsized just a little bit. We now fit everything into a 10 by 11 room. And it's been very good. We have prayed about shoes and purses and the 30 inches of closet rod. And I didn't see those things as any issues because I thought, you know, if I have one set of clothing for the week and one for the weekend, what more do you need? We have good laundry facilities. But needless to say, we have a few boot shelves and we have gotten everything in. The car's outside, but our shoes are warm. So, no, it is good to be here, and it's good to know that God is good and that God is the one that's in control, that God continues to lead. We are also privileged and excited about being able to be at Hillside for 6 months to help them out, and so it's we will see what God has and the blessings He has in store for us as we move through each day. Psalm 107. Today is Thanksgiving, and as we think of giving thanks to the Lord, this is a psalm that is full of that. And it's a psalm that actually helps us to understand, as has already been mentioned in the morning service here already by Jake and by Dale, that what we give thanks for doesn't always need to be connected to the well, our physical well-being. And Psalm 107 helps us to see that. He does connect it with our circumstances, our everyday life, but He goes beyond that. He goes deeper than that. In verses, starting at verse 1 of Psalm 107, he says, "Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His love endures forever." Do you know that if you just take a phrase out of there, for He is good, that every time in the Scriptures that you will read that God is good, for He is good, each time preceding that was give thanks to the Lord. So when we hear the song or possibly sing the song or use the phrase that God is good, He is good all the time, it is scriptural. It's here. When it says, for He is good, it will always say, give thanks. And in verse 2, "Let the redeemed of the Lord say this, those who He has redeemed from the hand of the foe, those He has gathered from the lands, from east and west, from north and south." We are the redeemed that God has called us, that God has called, and we've responded to that call. And we are the ones that need to give thanks to the Lord. As we read Psalm 107, it is a psalm that the children of Israel would have sung after or at the end of their 70-year captivity. So as we read this psalm, we will see some of their journey that is going there. We may not have been, probably most of us have not been in captivity, but I do think that we will be able to relate to these truths, and they are relevant for us today. You know, children, how long does it take to get to high level? Well, probably depends a little bit where you live, but it usually doesn't take 3 days, does it? Unless you're driving, no. It doesn't take 3 days. Well, recently I had the privilege of visiting with Mr. Peters, and you know, Kyle and Cole and Janaea's great-grandfather. And he was telling me about a time when he came home from high level and it took him 3 days. Whoa, that'd be a long time, wouldn't it? To come home in 3 days. And it was an interesting journey. As I listened to the experiences they had on that journey. Well, if we think back, most of us can go grandparents or maybe not, you know, maybe great-grandparents, but we realize that travel hasn't always been the way it is today, that really much of what we take as normal for our life hasn't been that way for many years yet. And it was that way, too, for a wagon trail. Do you read about the wagon trains, or have you studied that in school? I know that we haven't seen too many of them, but, you know, there was a wagon train that was going across the country. They'd been going without water. They didn't hardly had enough grass for their animals. Many of their wagons were breaking down. It was so hot. It was just incredible. And guess what? They became frustrated, and it began to feel very futile. All that optimism which they had started when they left home, it had kind of dissipated, and now even their courage was quite limited in supply. And so one evening they called a meeting. They were going to have just let everybody share their complaints. And as they gathered around the campfire for the meeting, one gentleman stood up and he says, "Before we start our prayer meeting, or before we start our grief session, he says, "Don't you think we should at least first thank God that he has brought us this far with no loss of life, with no serious trouble from the Indians, and that we've got enough strength to finish the journey?" And so that's what they did. They started with prayer, giving thanks for the things that hadn't happened to them. When the amen was said, it was quiet. All you could hear was the coyotes howling in the distance. It kind of put the circumstances they were going through into perspective. The complaint session never happened. They suddenly realized that if they couldn't be satisfied with what they'd received, they could at least be thankful for what they had escaped. Thankfulness enabled them to see where God was still extending his mercy and his love to them. That verse that you had in the bulletin there is the verse that I think is so key. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Give thanks in all circumstances. And you know, that's what we're going to see in Psalm 107 here. Giving thanks in all circumstances. We're going to especially look at the first verses where he talks about four different groups of people and the trouble that they encountered and how God rescued them. In verses 4 to 9, we find the wanderers. It says that some wandered in desert wastelands, finding no way to a city where they could settle. They were hungry and thirsty, and their lives ebbed away. And then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. He led them by a straight way to a city where they could settle. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for men. For he satisfies the thirsty and fills the hungry with good things. The children of Israel were not necessarily lost. Not geographically. They knew where they were. But they felt lost in their circumstances. They'd been in captivity for 70 years. So there's a new generation that has come up that didn't know, had never seen the land of Israel. They had heard about it from their parents and their grandparents. And you know what? Those that were probably teenagers or children when they came to Babylon, they were the ones now 70 years old. They were the elders in the people of Israel. No, they weren't lost physically or geographically, but they felt lost in who they were as a people. And isn't it interesting that that is actually the greater thing? Because if you're lost, well, these days it's hard to be lost. because you can turn your phone on and it'll tell you, there, look at the blue one, okay? Because the blue one tells you where you are, the red one where you want to go. It's hard maybe for us to really imagine that part of it. But to be lost in our life, to feel lost, that's tough. That's tough. People who don't find their satisfaction, their very source of who they are, if that's not connected to God, then life becomes very lost. It becomes very uncertain. Jesus said in John 14:6, I am the way. I am the way for these wanderers who to whom he led to a city where they could settle. Jesus says, I am the way to us. I am the way, the truth, and the life. If they're hungry, says they are, Jesus says, I am the bread of life. They will never hunger again in Jesus. He who comes to me will never go hungry. He who believes to me in me will never be thirsty. He gives the living water. Whoever drinks of the water that Jesus gives them, verse 14 of John chapter 4, I will give him, will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life. Jesus is that giver of rest. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. To the wanderer, let them give thanks to the Lord. Let the redeemed of the Lord say this. We have found a way, we have found our way, and we found it in Jesus Christ our Lord. We don't need to be hungry, exhausted, lost. All of those things we can find in Jesus. And then there's the prisoner. In verse 10, it says that some sat in darkness and the deepest gloom, prisoners suffering in iron chains, for they had rebelled against God. They had rebelled against the words of God and despised the counsel of the Most High. So he subjected them to bitter labor. They stumbled, and there was no one to help. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them from their distress. He brought them out of darkness and the deepest gloom and broke away their chains. They were in prison as a consequence of their own sin, as a consequence of their own choices. And it was in prison that they hit rock bottom. It was in prison that there was no hope left. It was there that they cried out, and God responded by giving them freedom. And then he says, let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for men. For he breaks down gates of bronze and cuts through bars of iron. In Luke chapter 4, we actually read the Lord uses the same type of a picture. And he's not necessarily talking about the prison that has bars on it of iron. But again, the prisons that we find ourselves into are the ones that are often much harder to get out of than if we were to serve our term, our time, or to be pardoned. The Spirit of the Lord is on me, said Jesus, because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed. How wonderful to be able to experience that freedom. I read recently of an innocent man who was accused of murder and convicted. And because of that, he spent 12 years, or he was 12 years before he was pardoned as an innocent man. But he talks about what prison taught him, even though he was there as an innocent person, but to be incarcerated and to not have freedom, to totally lose your freedom. There's the sick. Verse 17 says, some became fools through their rebellious ways and suffered affliction because of their iniquities. It's a bit similar to the prisoner, right? Because of their iniquities. They loathed all food and drew near to the gates of death. You know, sometimes, like the children of Israel, our rebellious ways are not without consequence. And yet when we cry to the Lord, when they cried to the Lord in their trouble, He saved them from their distress. He sent forth His word and healed them. He rescued them from the grave. There's that amazing truth that even in our sickness, even in the health issues that we sometimes face, there are times that we don't take care of ourselves. And we suffer the consequences of that. Whether we're exposed to something dangerous, which we didn't really take note of that much, or whether it's wrong eating habits, wrong sleeping habits, wrong rest. But you know, in that, God still comes. And it says, then they cried to the Lord, and He gave them release. In Matthew chapter 11, it's interesting to note, John the Baptist was wondering about Jesus. Is He really the Messiah? Is He who He claims to be? Who, or maybe John is thinking, who I claimed He would be, right? Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. And yet in prison, in the darkness of prison, he begins to wonder. And this is what Jesus said, go back to John and report to him what you hear and what you see. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cured, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, the good news is preached to the poor. Verse 21, let them, those people, give thanks to the Lord for His unfailing love, His wonderful deeds for men. Let them sacrifice thank offerings and tell of His works with songs of joy. The man in Acts chapter 3, man, he couldn't contain himself, could he? He was healed. He jumped to his feet, began to walk. He went into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. Let them give thanks to the Lord. Let them sacrifice thank offerings and tell of His wonderful works. Then we have the storm-tossed. What I found interesting as I read through this, and pretty well each one of the other ones, we find them in Babylon because of their sin. We find them in prison because of their rebellious ways. We find them sick because of their iniquities. But here we have them on the storm. Notice, it says, others went out on the sea in ships. They were merchants on the mighty waters. Look at verse 24. They saw the works of the Lord, His wonderful deeds in the deep. For He spoke and stirred up a tempest that lifted high waves. They mounted up to the heavens and went down to the depths. In their peril, their courage melted away. They reeled and staggered like drunken men. They were at their wits' end. The storm came. In spite of their recognition of the wonderful works and deeds of the Lord, they hadn't, so to speak, done wrong. They hadn't rebelled against the Lord. The same can be true for us. Sometimes we feel, I don't deserve this. I haven't done anything to deserve this. We experience storms in our lives not as a result of sin, but just as a result of living in a fallen world. And the storms come, and they can still discourage us. They still pound us. They too cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and He brought them out of their distress. And it's just about a repeat of Mark chapter 4. But verse 29 says, He stilled the storm to a whisper. The waves of the sea were hushed. they were glad when it grew calm, and he guided them to their desired haven. In Mark 4, the disciples are afraid they're going to drown. And Jesus was asleep in the boat, but he got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, "Quiet, be still." Then the wind died down, and it was completely calm. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for men. Let them exalt him in the assembly of the people and praise him in the council of the elders. Do you notice the pattern? Do you notice the repeat of verses? Not only were the verses repeated, but they were the exact same words in there. We have each section starting out with a description of a people who need the Lord. And then something happens, whether it's in their own rebellious, their own wrong choices. And I'm glad that he talks about that, because many of us, if we could go back, we would make different choices, but we never have the privilege of going back. We can only go forward. Yet to each one, when they humbled themselves, they repented, they turned towards God. It says they cried out to God in their distress. They cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he brought them out of their distress. Repeated after each one, always, always, it comes down to our response. If we fail to cry out to the Lord, we will continue in our wanderings. We will continue in prison. We will continue in our sickness. We will continue to be discouraged and overwhelmed and wallow in the consequences of our sin. Back when I was 19, that was what caused me to come to the Lord in repentance. Was that sense of my sin and my mistakes just adding up and adding up, and over and over again. Sunday night I would say to the Lord, "I won't do this again next weekend." And next weekend it was the same. And Sunday night, "I won't do it again." And that cycle went on, and it went deeper, until I recognized it and cried out in repentance and humility and acknowledged that I couldn't save myself. Only he could. Then he responds and he gives us his salvation. And each one says, "Let them give thanks to the Lord." Then those next words, "Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love." That's a relationship, isn't it? Isn't that it? His unfailing love. And his wonderful deeds is love in action. But the first thing that is true for us when we come to the Lord is that we look for that relationship, that unfailing love. Not that God is going to necessarily change all of our circumstances. That shouldn't be and cannot be our bottom line motive. It's got to be that unfailing love, that relationship with God. And then let the love in action, the wonderful deeds of our Lord, let them speak, or let them come into our life, coming from the hand of the one whom we can trust. Give thanks in all circumstances. Okay? You can highlight, you can underline, you can circle. You need to see those three letters, A-L-L, all circumstances. It's all inclusive. For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. What is God's will for you in Christ Jesus? Your circumstances? Maybe, maybe not. What God's will is for your life, God's will for you is that you give thanks. thanks for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds towards men. Did you have to encourage your children to say thank you? Did you have to teach them to say thank you? How often do you hear that, children? You're running away from the table. Mom and Dad holler out very quietly, "What do you say?" And do you say, "I don't know"? Isn't it usually the fact when Mom and Dad say, "What do you say?" You go back and you say, "Thank you. Thank you for the meal," or "Thank you for the gift," or... Isn't it interesting? At the end of that little question, "What do you say?" Most often, not always, most often, it is "Thank you." Remember the episode, the account of the 10 lepers that Jesus healed? 10 of them. And then they were told to go and to show themselves to the priest and to offer the sacrifices that were to come with being cleansed. On the way to the temple, all of a sudden they realized they're healed. They're healed. Their leprosy is gone. Of the 10, only one returns to say thank you to Jesus. And Luke tells us that not only did he come to say thank you, but that he came and he fell on his face and he bowed before Jesus. And I can just imagine it wasn't just, "Thanks, Lord," and away I run to play. But there was a worship in that thanksgiving. Not just for being healed, but his thanks went deeper than that. Because the others were healed. But this man recognized something in Jesus that the others didn't. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for men. I don't know what's in your life today. We've been praying for the Lowen family. There's others who've lost loved ones. There's been sickness. There's been job changes. There's been stress in the home. Maybe even breakup in the home. Am I really expected to give thanks in those circumstances? We may not be able to give thanks for them, but we can give thanks in them. I like the way the NIV says it, because it says in them, not necessarily for them. I think God knows that we would really, really struggle with that much more yet. But to be able to give thanks in them, to allow our heart to recognize the relationship, the unfailing love, and the wonderful deeds of the one whom we serve. Let's pray. Father, as we think of the challenge before us, and as we read about the children of Israel, and we recognize, Lord, that life is very real. And that it's messy. It's beyond our control. And that when we read that the redeemed of the Lord should give thanks and to acknowledge that you are good and that your love endures forever, those are easy words and lovely words to spout out of our mouth. But boy, they're hard to practice on a daily basis. We're so human, Lord. We want to gather around the campfire and have our gripe session, not a praise session. Lord, may we become a more thankful people in all circumstances. And may we look to you for the strength and the power, whatever our circumstance is, to help us to do that. Because without you, Lord Jesus, we cannot. But when we look to your promises, it becomes a bit easier. So that's our desire. In Jesus' name, amen.